Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We got to get right to it today. God, we got a good story, a good exclusive to start the show. It's one of those things you got to hear to believe. But I just want to mention really quick, because it's important. Today is October 1st. That means that there are about $10 billion in new taxes that are taking effect in the state of Washington today. The vast majority of those on the backs of businesses, big and small, at a time when they can least afford it. So we're going to have more on that tomorrow. But I just want to say to you, and I think one of the most important things that I can do with this platform is to try to support hardworking people who are struggling to get by under the weight of the government and taxes. And so please go out and do something today to support one of the small businesses in your community. They need it. They're suffering. They are going to be hit with these taxes and probably more taxes in the coming year. So please, something small, go out and support a small business that you might otherwise not have today. All right, getting into it. Oh, this is just delicious. This is delicious. It's horrible, but it's good. It's good for the show, you know, if I'm being honest. So, of course, we have been talking nonstop about what's happening with these two Let's Go Washington initiatives that are, may I add, these are moderate positions. Protecting girls' sports, saying biological boys should not be able to compete against girls. And then the other initiative that Let's Go Washington is running right now would restore parental rights. Again, that's a moderate position, saying, hey, you're sending your child to a public school. That school should not be able to keep secrets from you about your kid. Wow, extreme stuff, really crazy. But since in the last 2 weeks, people have been out collecting signatures on those initiatives, we've seen a level of unhinged behavior from the left that is without comparison, harassing, threatening signature gatherers, even committing criminal acts that people have been arrested for. It's gotten so bad that even King 5 News had no choice but to cover it. And the Attorney General, Nick Brown, had no choice but to speak out against it, which I'm grateful for. But there was a story that we told you about yesterday, and we were waiting for some updates on it, and we have them, and they're just, it's unbelievable. So you remember the city of Snohomish Police Department had put a post out over the weekend saying basically, hey, we're aware that signature gatherers are in front of one of our local stores. We have no legal authority to remove them. Please stop calling 911, essentially. And it was a Fred Meyer store, grocery store. And there was a guy outside the Fred Meyer who was collecting signatures on these two initiatives. And the Snohomish Police Department said that they were so inundated with 911 calls that they had to make this post just to let people know we don't have the legal authority to remove them. And you might say, well, why? We've talked about this before. But basically, Washington state law has this, it considers these places public spaces, essentially. And if they've allowed other sort of activities like, I mean, even including Girl Scouts selling Girl Scout cookies, then they don't get to pick and choose because they've essentially made themselves a public square. So in those cases, the police can't really do anything about it unless the signature gatherer is, you know, committing a crime of some kind, like threatening people, sign this or else, you know, that kind of stuff. So as soon as we saw that post, we were like, we got to get those 911 calls. If there's really that many, we've got to get them. So we reached out to the agency that fielded those calls, and I'm happy to report that we have them. And I don't know that the left is using the phrase fascist a lot, and they want to act like Trump is a totalitarian government. And I experienced this a lot down in Portland, too, where these people who are shouting fascists and Nazis act way more like fascists and Nazis than anyone on the right. They absolutely want to silence and stomp out any form of dissent. They believe words are violence. If you disagree with them, you should be shut up by any means necessary. That's what a totalitarian government would do. And so they don't seem to understand the hypocrisy of their actions and then their words. So I'm going to play a few of these for you. The first 911 call that came in about these, again, someone collecting signatures to protect girls' sports and parental rights, was from the store manager of the Fred Meyer in question. Here it is.
911, what is the address of your emergency?
2801 Bickford Avenue.
Okay, is that a Fred Meyer?
Yep.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
I have a man outside my home entrance, on the south entrance, that is refusing to leave the property. I've already asked him three times and told him he's trespassing on Fred Meyer property.
Okay. Is he, like, panhandling, or what's he doing out there?
He's harassing my customers, trying to get them to sign petitions. Looks like a white male with a goatee and mustache. He's got a black God Bless America hat on, dark blue polo shirt.
Yeah, harassing his customers. What, like having a booth that says you can sign this? Highly doubt there was actually harassment, or if you had a legal case for harassment, you would have articulated that to police on the phone and they would have come out and dealt with that. So in response to that 911 call from the store manager, basically the Snohomish Police Department informed him of the laws around this and the reality that this was sort of considered a public square and there were further legal steps that he'd have to take in order for police to come out and actually remove. And police told us, we don't want to remove signature gatherers. We don't want these 911 calls either, but they just kept rolling in. Let's keep listening.
They are pushing hate speech and rhetoric. And they've been asked to leave. They haven't left. By the management of Fred Meyer. Apparently, they told me also the police were called, but nobody showed up yet. And they're on their property. I mean, I'm just don't have patience for people like that that spout hate.
Pushy calls it hate speech. Hate speech. He's, think about this as we listen to all of these, and they get even worse. We have adult human beings picking up the phone to call 911 emergency services because of speech they disagree with. And speech that is very moderate, reasonable, hey, no dudes in girls' sports. Parents have rights. That's hate speech to a segment of the left, which is also one of the reasons I've pushed back so hard against Washington State's hate crime hotline. Because what did I say? This is the kind of stuff that would come in to the hate crime hotline. It would be triggered leftists who cannot go about in the world confronted with the reality that people might disagree with them on certain things. And as I said on the show yesterday, can you imagine, as we continue with these, one single conservative that you know calling 911 to report signature gatherers on an issue that they disagree with? One conservative you know. I can't even fathom a conservative I know, like on the initiatives for, you know, gun control a few years ago, picking up the phone and telling the police, oh my gosh, you have people out there collecting signatures. The left has lost their mind. They've absolutely lost their mind. Let's see, this woman who called in, she's it's not her, you know, she's not worried about herself, but she doesn't think children should have to be confronted with opinions like these.
I came in to go shopping, and there is a table set up outside with signs to sign up for supporting different initiatives and that sort of thing. And one of them is specifically to keep trans girls out of sports. And Fred Meyer has asked them to leave, and they've apparently tried calling the police and has been told that they will not make them leave. And so I'm calling to report it because it's absolutely ridiculous, and they should not be out there, especially if they've been told to leave. It's political, and they shouldn't be trying to put all of this stuff out in front of kids, especially when they're specifically having signs up that say keep girls in girls' sports and keep trans people out. And I'm sorry, but that's wrong. It's messed up. And if they've been asked to leave, they need to go.
On the phone to 911. Can you imagine being that dispatcher? I mean, what an abuse of 911. And this is also the same crowd that many of them hate the cops. Oh, defund the police. But when I need them because I'm triggered by speech I don't agree with, I'll pick up the phone and call them, and I want action now. And kids shouldn't have to see this stuff. Meanwhile, the people who are offended by it want to push all sorts of nonsense on kids, some of which we'll discuss later on in the show. But this kind of stuff, conservatism, can't expose kids to that. The idea that parents have some rights, can't expose kids to that. The idea that boys aren't really girls, oh, we've worked too hard to indoctrinate children. We can't expose them to that. We want them to believe that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and there's really no difference, and gender is just a social construct. This next one is the most nefarious to me, though. Because this guy calls 911, and in his desire to get an armed police response because of opinions he doesn't agree with, he lies. He lies to the 911 dispatcher to make it seem like this situation has become a violent public safety threat.
And there have been fights. There's honking and yelling. It's
what
against trans
fights?
Athletes.
Has anyone been physically fighting?
There haven't been any punches thrown, but it has been on that level for, I've been here more than 30 minutes, and I've gotten...
Are you a customer, or are you an employer?
Multiple
there?
People. I'm a customer,
I'm feeling
very threatened.
Okay, so what is happening exactly right now that's making you feel threatened? What are they doing?
At the moment, nobody's doing anything except for signing a petition. But the problem is they are here without permission, and they are being, what's the word I'm looking for? They're taking a very strong political stance that's very divisive, and it's causing people to feel very threatened and uncomfortable.
That is an adult man. That's an adult man who, first of all, should be cited for making a false report, saying they're fighting. And she says, what? They're physically, there's something going on? And he goes, well, no, but, you know, it's on that level. No, it's not on that level, because if there was actually, like, any sort of physical altercation or something, then police absolutely would come, respond, and deal with it. What are you doing, she asks. What are they doing that's making you feel threatened? Oh, they're holding an opinion. And he actually admits it, which I almost could... You could kind of, I can't see it, but I could almost feel the wheels turning where he knew he was going to have to admit that he felt threatened by a political opinion he disagreed with. Can you imagine going through life feeling the need to call 911 every time you are met in some form or fashion with a political opinion you disagreed with? I'd be on 911, I'd be on the phone with police 24 hours a day. I mean, it's wild. And again, trying to use the government, they're trying to use police as a tool to suppress speech they disagree with. Gosh, what is the word? It sounds very fascisty, doesn't it? Sounds very fascisty. They don't understand that. There's more. Here's a few others.
Like a person trying to get signatures on some initiative outside Fred Meyer, but it is... It's anti-trans movement kind of thing, and I just know there are employees there that are trans, and it feels very, like, an unsafe workspace for them, and it sounds like Fred Meyer has asked them to leave. I asked the manager, and they won't leave.
There's two people here with valid initiatives, but the store has asked them to leave, and they're not leaving.
I think I just have a big problem with people out front petitioning and causing a disturbance for something that's so crappy, basically.
So I didn't know if this is something I need to contact the news about or if you guys are actually going to come out and take care of it.
He's not acting aggressive at all, but what he is doing is hate against trans people. And so that's what the signatures are for.
If you ever wondered, gosh, how could this state be so blue, given how insane the policies of the Democratic Party are in this state? That's why. There are people that brainwashed. I mean, and so saying, do I have to call the news about this? Or are you police officers going to come out and handle this? He's not acting aggressive, but he's offending me with his words. And the woman who says she fears it's not a safe work environment for trans employees. Okay, I'm sure they are bothered by it. Still not something to call 911 about. But I just want to play again, because I think it underscores really the larger issue here of a segment of society that believes words are violence and that believes that they're not acting like fascists if they seek to suppress words they disagree with. Because the call that stands out to me the most, if we can replay it, Nicole, is the man who claimed that there was some sort of fighting going on. And I just want to play it again.
And there have been fights. There's honking and yelling. It's
what
against
do you mean,
trans
fighting?
Athletes.
Has anyone been physically fighting?
There haven't been any punches thrown, but it has been on that level for, I've been here more than 30 minutes, and I've gotten...
Are you a customer, or are you an employer?
Multiple
there?
People. I'm a customer, I'm feeling very threatened.
Okay, so what is happening exactly right now that's making you feel threatened? What are they doing?
At the moment, nobody's doing anything except for... signing a petition. But the problem is they are here without permission, and they are being, what's the word I'm looking for? They're taking a very strong political stance that's very divisive, and it's causing people to feel very threatened and uncomfortable.
That's a man. That's an adult man. Can you imagine that being your husband or your dad, someone who is that weak-minded, who says that they feel threatened, so threatened they have to call the police because someone is taking a strong political stand? God, I hope he doesn't have kids. I hope he does not have kids, because he is not equipped to protect those kids from the real world. He is not equipped to help children navigate the complex world that we live in. And of course, this is on top of all of the crimes that have been committed against these signature gatherers. So here's what we're going to do. I don't have the exact details for you today, so be on the lookout for posts about it. We need to show that we're not going to back down. We need to make clear that, first of all, we have a right to be out collecting signatures. This is part of the democratic process, and it is lawful to do so, and we won't be harassed or threatened or intimidated away from doing it. And we also need to make clear that this is the moderate position. Boys Out of Girls Sports, parental rights, this is the moderate position. The position that they're articulating is the extreme position. So on Sunday, this Sunday, if you haven't made plans yet, I want you to not make plans, because at noon, we're going to be hosting with Let's Go Washington a large, not only signature gathering event for these two initiatives, but a rally so we can get together. I want dads there. I want moms there. I want, if they're brave enough, teen athletes there, to be able to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to cower, we're not going to back down, we're going to have a rally, we're going to get people here, we're going to sign this, and we're going to keep getting signatures until we have enough of them to send this to the legislature at the beginning of the year. So I can tell you it's going to be in the South End. It's going to be South Sound. It's going to be noon this Sunday. When I have the final details in stone, I'll post that. We will talk about it on the show. Probably tomorrow we'll have the details. Nicole's saying, no. Sunday. Am I wrong? Okay. Well, this weekend.
It's going to be one of those.
I swear it's Sunday. Okay. Well, okay. We'll figure it out. And I'll have the details and I'll post all of it, because we need to make sure that girls know that we're going to stand up for them, and that parents know that we're going to stand up for them as well. So we'll have that information coming up for you. All right. And maybe I can get it sorted out in a commercial break here and actually give them the exact time and place. All right. Coming up next, I promised you guys I was going to talk about what I witnessed with Antifa down in Portland, and how three steps in particular that the Trump administration has taken so far, I believe, has actually served to neuter Antifa in a pretty effective way. I mean, they're still very dangerous, but I want to talk to you about what I saw. First, we're happy to be working with our new sponsor, Valentine Roofing, our newest sponsor on Undivided. And it's that time of the year. I mean, if you're worried about the rain coming in, whether your roof is going to be able to withstand it or whether it's on its last legs, call 206 Roofing. They're going to do a couple things. They'll come and they'll do an assessment of your roof. And if your roof can just be repaired, they're not going to push you to buy a new roof. But if you do need a new roof, and let's say you've got a leak now, they'll do a free leak stop to make sure that any leaks are fixed so no further damage happens, and then they'll replace your roof. One of the best parts is they do zero down financing for most projects, so you can get the work done now and pay over time. And Valentine does more than just roofing. If you need new siding, gutters, attic insulation, exterior cleaning, you can expect the same great service. So schedule your free estimate by calling 206 Roofing, again 206 Roofing, and please make sure to tell them that you heard about them on Undivided with me, Brandi Cruz. Again, 206 Roofing. All right. So Antifa. I've been covering Antifa for 15 years. Antifa is a real thing. They are incredibly dangerous. I agree wholeheartedly with the designation from the Trump administration that they are domestic terrorists. I also realize that Antifa is hard to pinpoint. You know, it's not a terror organization that has a set structure that's very clear, you know, who's in charge of it, the lieutenants and all of those things. And I also understand that proving that someone is like a member of Antifa for the federal government is going to be very difficult. But that doesn't mean that the designation of Antifa as a terror organization has not made a significant impact on their effectiveness. So I want to talk about that today, but I just want to note that Antifa is still causing a lot of problems in Portland. I definitely don't want to make this sound like they're not, including when I was there over the weekend. And just last night, our friend Katie Davis Court of the Post Millennial was hit in the face with a stick and assaulted. Here's that video.
Don't hit me.
Oh!
She just hit me in the face.
Yeah, so she was hit so hard with the flagpole that she instantly got a bruise. And I meant to check in with her and see what it looks like today, but it was pretty bad. But Katie is a badass. She wasn't going to back down. And Portland police sort of stationed themselves on the periphery of this riot. And so she said, okay, I'm going to follow this person. Like, I'm not backing down. You know, I can, they have a mask covering their face, but they have blonde hair. I can generally see what they look like. So she starts to follow this person, you know, is calling Portland police, and eventually a Portland police officer approaches. It's Katie. I want to set this up. Katie's taking the video, but you'll see there's two individuals walking in front of her. The person on the left is the individual who hit her. And watch how, I'm sorry, watch how worthless the Portland Police Department is in this scenario.
Do not touch me!
Yes, Jan's sport backpack.
Do not touch me.
That one.
Do not touch me.
Which one?
Her.
Do not touch me. I am not.
I just said that you are.
I'm underage.
No, do not touch her.
Do not touch her. Do not touch me. I am underage.
And they just walk away. And he just lets him walk away.
Yeah.
Is that not insane? And she says, don't touch me. I'm underage. Who cares? You assaulted someone. It has nothing to do with whether you're underage. Doesn't matter. That Portland police officer, you've got two girls. And he kind of starts to grab one by the arm and they say no. And so he just what? Stops? And lets him walk. And I don't blame that Portland police officer. We've heard the chief of police who's been on the news saying, oh, the Trump administration is over-exaggerating things. This is just one city block. We've got things handled. And so they're completely neutered from the top down. So I'm not going to blame that individual Portland police officer, but that's genuinely embarrassing. Katie, who's like 100 pounds soaking wet, is the one who just got assaulted. She has enough bravery to follow this person so police can make an arrest. She's got the physical mark of the attack already forming. And this grown man police officer with a gun is like, nah, I'll just let him walk away because they told me not to touch them. Insane. So this is the organized part of Antifa. And what we mean when we say that they do have an organizational process, because they will instantly spring into action to protect lawbreakers. So in this video, what you'll see is them shielding this young woman who committed an attack and taking her to an Antifa safe house.
And that's the Antifa safe house.
What? Katie, you're stalking children. That's weird.
That's kind of furious, dude.
It's not cool to stalk children, Katie.
So they are now harboring the assault suspect in the safe house, in the Antifa safe house.
Yeah, and that safe house is in an affordable housing complex, kitty corner from the ICE facility, that some guy who's part of Antifa lets them come in there and crash at night. And that's where they've been harboring. They'll take people, they'll block cameras with umbrellas, and they'll move people in there to try to help them avoid arrest. And so they're harboring a criminal. Even when Katie followed that young woman, and you notice how the crowd turns it on her. Oh, why are you stalking a young, a minor, Katie? Why is a minor out there at a riot in the middle of the night assaulting a member of the media? So Katie tells Portland police, you know, you wouldn't arrest her a moment ago when she was in the street, just two people. Well, now she's in this safe house. We have video of her walking in there. Go in and arrest her. And Portland police wouldn't do it. They told Katie it was too dangerous. And the chief of police for Portland wants to be on the news saying they have a handle on things, but their police officers feel like it's too dangerous? Gee. Well, if it's too dangerous, maybe it is an actual problem. And so what you saw after this and the activity of federal agents down in Portland ramped up significantly last night. And I think it's because you're probably going to see a deployment of the National Guard, and so they're going to continue to show more force. But Portland police won't manage what's happening on the streets. So now, last night, DHS was out in full force taking to the streets to arrest criminals themselves.
Oh!
Get up!
Yeah, you'll see in that video, that white van, DHS pulled out a white van of the facility and then had these agents jump out to effect an arrest because Portland PD is doing nothing in that area. And this is something you really haven't seen to the extent that it happened last night. DHS federal agents really coming out far from the facility to make arrests. Because usually what they do and the arrests that they'll make will be right there in the driveway of the ICE facility. No, they were going out into the streets because Portland police are not doing anything. Even when they have a very easy, safe opportunity to take a girl about yay high and put her into custody for assault. So that's, I think, fundamental to this question is, okay, if Portland police aren't going to do it, should the federal government do it? I would say yes, because the alternative is lawlessness. So any notion that the Portland Police Department has things under control, that it's not a big deal, is shown not to be true by their own inaction. So now I want to talk about Antifa, but acknowledging that Antifa is still a real threat, right? When I was down there, I noticed something that you might say, well, that's ridiculous, Brandy. But the Antifa that I was confronted with in Portland was not as quick to violence as the Antifa that we've seen in Seattle, and certainly seen in Seattle in recent months. You know, there was a period of time for about 30 minutes that I was surrounded by some of these masked agitators. And not one of them assaulted me. Now, they did flash a strobe in my eye for like 30 minutes. But had that been in Seattle a couple months ago, I would have been assaulted within seconds. And that was true outside the federal building where they were throwing and dumping things on me. It was true outside the ICE facility in Tukwila where they, you know, were spraying me in the eye with bug spray. And I brought this up to Katie and I said, the first night I was there, I said, you know, Antifa doesn't seem as aggressive. And I certainly know that they've been, you know, assaulting Katie and other journalists here and there over the last few months. And Katie said, it is the Antifa terror designation from the president. She said, after President Trump made that designation, I mean, they're still violent and dangerous, but we have not seen the level of aggression because they're scared. She said she has heard them, that Antifa is genuinely concerned that President Trump means what he says when he says that he's going to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. So there's a couple of things that I wanted to note that I think the Trump administration has already done, short of bringing in federal troops, that actually have made Antifa less of a threat. And one of them is obviously the terror designation. These are individuals who are used to being treated with kid gloves by Democratic politicians who will deny their very existence. So why would they not have been emboldened in places like Portland and Seattle to be violent, instantly violent, to hurt journalists, to hurt agents, because they have Democratic politicians who forever have said, well, they don't even exist, they're not a problem. So the first step, saying, no, you exist, and not only do you exist, you are domestic terrorists from the Trump administration, has been significant, and I think telling Antifa, very powerful people have you on their radar. The other thing, arrests and prosecutions. Katie brought this up as well. 26 people have now been arrested outside this ICE facility in Portland by the federal government and are facing federal charges. Federal charges are much different than state charges. Doing time in a federal prison is significantly different than doing time in one of these county jails run in a sanctuary, soft on crime jurisdiction. And so 26 people, some of them facing 10 years in prison for the assault of federal agents. So I think that that is significant, where they're finally seeing that they have consequences for their actions that they have never faced in cities like Seattle and Portland. Because again, if you could get away with violent criminal conduct year after year after year, you can light cop guys' cars on fire, you can do all these things and nothing ever happens to you, you're just going to keep doing it and your actions are going to get worse and worse and more aggressive and more aggressive. Well, now you have some of these Antifa punks who are facing 10 years in a federal prison. So it's the first time they've ever really seen the FO part of FA. So that's significant. The other thing that's been happening is federal judges have issued stay out of area orders for these Antifa terrorists. So the ones that have been arrested, because it's going through the federal system, they've been told even if they're released pending their trial, they're not allowed to return to this facility. So what that has done is thin out the ranks of Antifa in Portland. You don't see as many of them. Some have been scared, some are worried about consequences, some are facing consequences, and they have orders from federal judges that they can't return to that area. And what that shows me is there, it is effective, even being vocal without taking any other steps can be effective. And I think that's the strength in President Trump, is he has shown that he's willing to follow through. So when he does something like saying, we're going to treat Antifa like the domestic terrorists they are, that threat in and of itself is effective because they know he means it. So you compare that to Democrats who will say Antifa isn't even a real thing. Which, you know, we see what result that has. Years of violence. And then it just takes one thing from President Trump to say, I see you, you're domestic terrorists. And all of a sudden they're on notice and they're scared. And they're not as emboldened. There is no way without that designation that Antifa wouldn't have assaulted me while I was there on Sunday when they surrounded me. Absolutely no way. And the other thing is federal agents are empowered to go out there, make their presence known and say, we're not going to tolerate it. Whereas you saw what Portland police did. Why would you be scared? Can you play the video again, Nicole, of that Portland police officer being absolutely worthless? Why would any political extremist criminal be scared of that police officer? Be worried about
yes, Jan's sport backpack.
Consequences of their actions.
That one.
Which one?
Her.
Which one?
No, I'm not. Sorry, I don't mean to make fun of the cop. She's like 4'8". Put her under arrest.
Do not touch her. Do not touch me. I am underage.
Walks away. Compare that to what the feds are doing. You tell me what's a more effective way of maintaining law and order. So the Trump administration, without even bringing in National Guard troops, has done more to neuter Antifa's effectiveness than left coast politicians have done in 15 years. And it's the power of words, taking things seriously, being law and order, and making sure that people know, whether it's Antifa or a foreign power, that as the president of the United States, I mean what I say. And my threats, I will make good on them. So I just want to point that out, because just those words and what they've done to Antifa, I think, is worth noting and is quite significant. If you haven't watched it already, make sure to catch our special report, 48 hours in Portland, in, I boil 48 hours down to 15 minutes, and take you through what I saw while I was on the ground there for 2 days as the city prepares for the potential deployment of National Guard troops to that one block of the city that's totally under control, according to the Portland police chief. Look, I am an unquestioned supporter of law enforcement, but what you just watched there from Portland PD, that's not law enforcement. They're not, what laws are they enforcing? And that police chief, I continue to get messages from people, the police chief, who say that they have no confidence in him, he doesn't have their back, and he's totally misstating things. So, just wild. All right, I want to talk about Bob Ferguson for a second here. I didn't fit this in on the show yesterday, but I think it's significant. So in light of all of this, of course, they have this press conference where he's not there because he's mysteriously absent. But they're talking about, you know, getting Washington State ready for the potential of National Guard troop deployments and all of this stuff. And it's the amount of virtue signaling is one thing. But the amount of money they're spending on virtue signaling is another thing. And it's much more nefarious because, as you know, you have businesses being hit today with around $10 billion in new taxes, yet Bob Ferguson continues to push money toward things that are just for the sake of showing how virtuous he is and how he's going to stand up to Donald Trump. So he put this out, recently signed an executive order reaffirming Washington's commitment to protecting immigrant rights. We're creating the immigration subcabinet to promote coordination among state agencies on issues related to immigration. Creating an immigration subcabinet. So he's already got his cabinet. That's not enough. We're creating an immigration subcabinet to promote coordination among state agencies on issues related to immigration. I'm also directing state agencies to review their data collection, sharing, and retention policies to ensure they are protecting the privacy and safety of all residents consistent with Washington's values and the law. Yet your values. You want your state agencies to shield people who are in our country illegally. So you basically want to obstruct immigration efforts. He goes on to say, this builds on and formalizes our existing coordination work to support immigrant families, including the Family Separation Rapid Response Team. So all these things that cost money, family separation, rapid response team, because somebody came into the country illegally and brought their children and then they're being separated. Well, now you, the taxpayers, have to step in and foot the bill for what, trying to help them in their legal services? He says, Washington is a proud, welcoming community that values immigrants and refugees' contributions to our economy and our cultural fabric. I agree with that. I value immigrants and refugees' contributions to our economy and our cultural fabric as well. Those who are here illegally. And there are many of them who are working hard, who are starting businesses, who are supporting businesses, who are paying into our economy and aren't leeches on our economy. He goes on to say, while the federal government engages in cruel attacks on immigrant communities, we are taking action to protect the rights and interests of all Washingtonians. No, you're not protecting the rights and interests of all Washingtonians. You're protecting the rights and interests of people who agree with you politically and who share your ideology. And the rest of us are just screwed. And you do that on the backs of the rest of us. Again, $10 billion in new taxes today that will go to helping support things like this. So you're a business struggling to get by, might even be owned by an immigrant family or a refugee family that's here lawfully. And even more of your hard-earned money is going to be funneled into legal defense funds for people who came here illegally. It's wild. I mean, I don't understand. And a lot of those people will still turn around and vote for Democrats. And people like Bob Ferguson. So speaking of Bob Ferguson, I hate doing this. And Nicole knows this. When Biden was president, I hated just sort of riffing on his health issues. And I was always like, okay, we have to be respectful and take it seriously, but you can't ignore it, right? And I'm not saying that Bob Ferguson is on the level of Joe Biden. But there was a video put out today that I actually, and I talked to Nicole before the show, I was like, is it okay for me to bring up that I'm worried about Bob Ferguson? So we know he's like out of somewhere out of the state, the 25th to October 9th, he posts this video, and I don't know when it was recorded, but it's a video with his wife, and of course, it's them virtue signaling about Hispanic Heritage Month, so the video itself is, again, more virtue signaling. But if you're watching the show today, watch Bob Ferguson.
Hola todos, I'm Governor Bob Ferguson.
Y yo soy Primera Dama Colleen Ferguson.
We want to take a moment to say Happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
Washington es el hogar de más de un millón de residentes hispanos y latinos quien son parte integral del tejado social de nuestro estado.
As we honor Hispanic Heritage Month with you, we want to reaffirm our commitment to important values as a state, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Estos son tiempos difíciles y es más importante que nunca apoyarnos en estos valores.
Earlier this month, I signed a proclamation declaring the week of September 14th Mexican Independence Week.
Esa proclamación honra a la comunidad hispana y latina y nuestras relaciones con México y América Latina.
We're very proud to celebrate our shared history and community throughout this important month.
Muchas gracias. Disfruten las celebraciones.
All right, let's get out of the way the clear awkwardness of them trying to speak Spanish while looking at a script. He's either high out of his mind, really tired, or there's something wrong with him. And this is the first video. Remember, there was another video a couple months ago he posted where he was almost worse. And to me, I'm looking at that, and if I were to tape a video and I looked at myself and I clearly looked that like stoned, I would be like, oh, we're not posting that.
Right.
But apparently people in his office, this has happened multiple times where he puts out these videos where he looks stoned. And maybe not on marijuana, but something else. And I don't want to make assumptions. And maybe he is sick. Maybe, I don't
like
know.
Or like migraines maybe, or sleep deprivation, like you said, or I don't know.
There is something going on there.
That's not
and
right.
And I don't want to joke about it because I'm actually kind of concerned about it. There is clearly something going on there, and his office isn't self-aware enough to realize that he very clearly looks bad in this video. And if you go to the video on social media, everybody is posting, you okay? You okay? You look high. You look stoned. Whatever it is. So it's just weird to me. And these absences and his office not saying where he is and not releasing his calendar, it makes me worried. And I think it's reasonable to have a question for the governor's office about, is the governor in good health? Is the governor in good health? Because that video does not look like it. And look, everybody gets tired. I'm sure being governor is a very, very hard job. But then don't film a video like that if it's just you're tired until you've got some rest. So I have questions about it. But the virtue signaling is one thing. And it's not even an important video. Well, I'm sorry, Hispanic Heritage Month. But you know what I mean? Like, if you were really tired, it's not like he's giving an address to the state or there's an emergency situation where he has to be on camera and has no choice. No, like, maybe don't tape that video until you're feeling better.
It's a whole month.
It's a whole month. So I actually genuinely, and I'm sure that the governor's office would just totally dismiss us, because we reached out last time he released a video and we said, you know, people are saying he looks like not high well. Or not well, and they kind of dismissed it or whatever. I think they told us he was tired or something. I don't remember. So it's weird. And I had to play that because I saw it and I asked Nicole, I was like, is it mean to say that? But, you know, it is our job after all. So thank I you. Hope the governor is well. I hope he's getting some rest on this mystery vacation he's on. And I hope that there aren't any health issues. And hell, I hope he is smoking weed. I hope he is smoking weed, because then maybe he'll calm down a little bit. All right, coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable. The number of kids in local school districts who are identifying as transgender has skyrocketed. And we have one example of why. First, our friend Zach Abraham, happening tomorrow. Yes, wow, I'm losing track of days. Wednesday today. Tomorrow, he's going to have his Back to Basics live webinar. So if you have any questions about your retirement portfolio, how it's holding up, whether it's properly being managed against risk, join this webinar totally free. You can listen passively. You can even ask Zach questions, and he'll help you sort of explain their basic fundamentals of value investing, give you an outlook on what's happening right now and for the remainder of 2025. And he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. And he said, you know, some of the big questions people have lately are about these, you know, global trade deals, how they're affecting the market, some of the uncertainty around AI, digital coins, all sorts of things. So he said, it's just time to get back to basics, do a frank discussion. So that's what this is going to be tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Register now, knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, if your child goes to Bush Middle School, which George Bush Middle School, Nicole kind of remarked, I'm surprised they allow a George Bush Middle School to exist in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to share with you what your kids are probably hearing on their morning announcements. It is our segment, Unbelievable. Boop. All right. So George Bush Middle School in the Tumwater area. Schools do like morning announcements, right? And I think that's cute that when they let the kids do the morning announcements. So when the school year began, there was a teacher, Miss Chevy, she read the morning announcements, and then they hand the script for the morning announcements over to the kids and let them practice speaking, which, again, I think is a good skill. But here's the morning announcements at George Bush Elementary or Middle School as read by Miss Chevy.
Happy Friday, Bush Falcons. Here are today's daily announcements. I am today's host, Miss Chevy. On Mondays, we wear rainbows here at BMS. You can wear rainbows on Monday to support your community.
Okay. We're rainbow on Monday to support your community. Interesting. And then they hand that script over for children to read.
On Mondays, we wear rainbows here at Bush Middle School. You can wear rainbows to support your community.
On Mondays, we wear rainbows here at BMS. You can wear rainbows to support your community.
So on Mondays, every Monday, not just during Pride Month, at this middle school, George Bush Middle School in the Tumwater School District, they can wear rainbows to support the LGBTQ+ community. If you didn't know that that was happening at your child's school, well, you do now. And it's also totally part of the indoctrination to make kids read that script about, oh, you have to wear a rainbow to support your community. So, but it's stuff like this, and this might not be a particular surprise to you, that kids, and they're going to feel forced into doing it, right?
Right, exactly.
If your kid is not wearing rainbow
on
stuff,
Monday, yeah, you hate gay people, apparently.
Yeah. Then you're going to hate gay people. You're going to feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like part of normalizing sexuality and transgenderism on kids in middle school. It's really actually
or
disgusting
the
and disturbing
librarian,
stuff.
Which I think this lady, Miss Chevy, is a librarian. I think obviously she'll hate you if you're not wearing
rainbows. Oh, 100%. Gosh, I wonder what kind of books are in that library. But this is not a surprise, obviously. This stuff is woven, and we've done these segments, woven throughout every fabric of public education and our government in Washington State. But what is the result of it? What is the real result of it? Are we just fear-mongering when we say that they're indoctrinating kids into radical gender ideology? Are we just fear-mongering and kids can wear rainbow colors without turning gay or trans and Brandy or just being a right-wing lunatic? No, the numbers agree with us. There is a social contagion that is being brought about by government action to convince little kids that they're transgender. And the numbers prove it. So we got these numbers from our friend Alicia Perkins, who actually got them from the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, because one of the things that OSPI proudly tracks and puts on its report card is the gender identity of its students. It's like, I mean, it's on the same page where you would find test scores, where you would find enrollment, where you would find attendance. And they're like, oh, and here's how many kids we have that are trans. It's like a marker that they're very proud of. So there's a couple things. And when Alicia first sent me these numbers, I almost didn't believe it. But then, you know, we got the background on the numbers. So in the, and it's not every school district, but in the school districts you would most expect, there has been a shocking rise in the number of kids who identify as transgender since 2018. So let's look at the North Thurston School District. So in 2018, 2019, 2020, 0% of the students identified as gender X. Okay, 0%. That started to tick up. 2021, 0.1%. 2022, that tripled, 0.3%. 2023, 0.4%. So you might say, well, Brandy, those are exceedingly small numbers, but when you consider even 0.1% to 0.4%, the number of transgender students quadrupled. And it gets even worse from there. What other school districts do you think are problematic? The Seattle Public School District. In 2018, 0% of kids identified as gender X. Where is that at right now? 1.3% of students. That's a 1,200% increase in 5 years. In 2019, one per 1,000 kids in the Seattle Public School District was trans in the 2019-2020 school year. This year, it's one in every 77. That is insane. There's no natural explanation for that besides ideology. And going back to the North Thurston one, just to give you that same breakdown, in 2021, it was one per 1,000. Now it's one per 333 kids. It's a 200% increase over the last 3 years. But what do you think the worst school district is? Any takers? Well, of course. It's the school district we did an entire documentary on called Operation Indoctrination. It is the Olympia School District. It has seen a 2,250% increase in transgender identifying children in the last 5 years. 2,250%. In 2019-2020, one per 500 kids identified as gender X. In 2024 to 2025, one in every 20 children in the Olympia School District identifies as gender X. That's genuinely disturbing and disgusting. The other question I have, and this would have to go to the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, is this biological numbers? Because you can say on a thing, oh, my gender is X, right? I don't identify with man or woman, so I'm going to label gender X. But are they even including, like, a male student who now believes and has been led to believe fully that they're a female? So if they check female, do they not even count in the numbers of transgender kids? Is this really only kids who are marking gender X? Because then the number might actually be much higher. And we wonder why. It's these small things that you might say, well, that's not a particularly big deal, Brandy, that they're doing morning announcements and they're letting kids dress in rainbow colors in support of the LGBTQ community every Monday at a middle school. But it's those things that become part of everyday routine. It's the trans pride flags up in the classroom. It's the month-long pride celebrations. It's the books read to kids in elementary school in the Seattle Public School District that say, when you're born, a doctor guesses what your gender is, and they don't always get it right. It's all of those things, the many layers that your children are confronted with every single day that pushes this gender ideology down their throats, that leads to things like a 2,250% increase in students who say their gender is X over a period of 5 years. One in 21 kids in the Seattle Public School District mark their gender as X. And you, for anyone who would say that this isn't social contagion, get a grip, touch some grass, book another appointment with your therapist. And I mean, you know, is it a particular, first of all, it's the parents that's most disturbing to me that actually support this with their kids. But then you wonder why we want to restore parental rights, the Parental Bill of Rights, because I wonder how many of these kids identify as gender X and their parents have no idea. I bet you it's a pretty big chunk of them. They go to school and they're celebrated for being trans and different and they feel special and their teachers make them feel special. And then they keep it secret. So it's their secret little life at a public school that their parents know nothing about. And they're training them to be the future generation of Democratic voters and activists. And in case you doubt me and think that's a conspiracy, who's leading the charge to harass signature gatherers trying to restore parental rights? The Washington Education Association. They're funding the anti-initiative movement. Number one biggest donor. Why? It's not because they just want all kids to belong. No, they want kids to conform to their ideology. They don't want kids to learn anything. Can't teach kids to think critically and independently. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a 2,250% increase in trans kids. It's disturbing stuff. It is absolutely disturbing stuff. And just to correct me, it is Saturday. Sorry. Saturday at noon, we're going to be having a signature signing event and rally with Let's Go Washington. So I will give you the details on tomorrow's show and across social media. I don't know why. I told you my days are messed up.
I wish it was Sunday because then I could probably go. So that's why I kind of knew that it was Saturday.
Yeah, Nicole's not going to be there. She's always off doing something. You travel more than anyone I know. But it's okay. Don't change things. I'll be there. People will miss you and they'll come up to me and say, where's Nicole? I just want to see Nicole. And I'll be like, well, what about me? And they'll be like, I don't care about you. I see you every day. anyway, okay. We'll get to national news. Talk about the shutdown coming up next. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, October is actually a great month of the year to do that. This nice post-Labor Day boost. And then people, you know, are out there looking for a home before the winter months. So reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. A lot of people assume that the market is slow right now, but actually the issue is that you do have more homes on the market than we've had previously, but that means that they're sitting for longer just because, you know, we had this situation where there was no inventory at all. So now there's actually a lot of inventory, but the homes are sitting a little bit longer than usual for that reason. And so you do have to put a little extra work in. You have to make sure that your home stands out. So Wes can help you with that. They have something called the Listing Boost Concierge Service, where they can come in, make sure that your listing is looking great and you're gonna get more feet in the door, more offers on the table. They can do cosmetic upgrades that you don't have to pay for till closing, which I think is just a really great service. And Wes loves managing those projects as well. But just start simple. Go to sellwithwes.com. Use their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the government. Are we in a shutdown government? I guess it was like noon Eastern time or midnight Eastern time. Does anybody really care? Does anyone really care?
That is the one thing that could change my travel plans this weekend is if they start canceling a bunch of flights, because that is where it affects people, I think. Well, maybe not the most. I mean, if you work in government and you don't get a paycheck, that's obviously affecting people the most. But if it starts to delay flights and disrupt travel, people really get angry.
Yeah, I suppose. I just think it's interesting that the government is so big. It's this big bloated thing. But honestly, I'm like, government shutdown might be great. the less the government is doing to affect our lives, sometimes I just think the better. Mm-hmm. But basically the gist of it, they're both blaming each other. Democrats are calling it a Republican shutdown. Republicans are calling it a Democratic shutdown. Same old stuff. It seems like a lot of this is contingent on the healthcare issue. And Republicans say that they're not going to extend healthcare benefits to people who are in the country illegally. And they're absolutely not going to change their mind on that. ABC's George Stephanopoulos denies that illegals are getting any sort of health benefits, and Speaker of the House Mike Johnson explained to him how it works.
Here are the facts. The proposal does not provide health care for illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants cannot buy health care under the Affordable Care Act. They cannot receive health care subsidies. No. Illegal immigrants are ineligible for Medicare, Medicaid, and the Children's Health Program. The Democratic bill does not make them eligible.
It does, actually, because what it does is it unwinds the changes that Republicans put into the big, beautiful bill, the big signature legislation that we passed and signed into law on July 4th. That has been very successful in shoring up Medicaid for the people who are actually eligible to receive it. What we did in the bill, and the CBO just verified this 3 weeks ago, the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan arbiters of everything up here, they said that those provisions have helped to reduce premiums. Why? Because we got ineligible recipients off of Medicaid, illegal aliens, and able-bodied young men who were riding the wagon who are not eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for specific populations of U.S. citizens. That is young, pregnant women who are down on their luck, the disabled and the elderly. Those resources are being drained from those folks, and so we fixed that. We reduced fraud, waste, and abuse in the program. Chuck Schumer's counterproposal on the CR would reverse that. That is a simple fact.
The CBO did not say that about illegal immigrants. You've made your point.
You just proved me wrong, so I'll move on to other things. Is it worth shutting down the government over this? Yeah, I think so. I think we're talking about a fundamental issue of what Americans have worked hard for and paid into, and whether it can survive, what's the longevity there, and whether people who are Americans can get the benefits that many of them need. And so, yeah, I don't support illegals being able to obtain any benefits in the United States of America. And so if Republicans believe that that's worth shutting the government down, I guess we'll see how long it lasts and what the long-term implications of it are. But for me, I love less government. So if we can have less government for a few days, great. I'm not trying to travel like Nicole is. All right, text between the Oregon governor and Donald Trump. This is interesting. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek, I think that she leaked these text messages to the media because she thought they made her look like very strong and she was standing up for to Donald Trump. But I read these and it just made me be like, Donald Trump is so funny. He is so funny. So Donald Trump has an assistant do it for him, but is texting Oregon Governor Tina Kotek about the situation at the ICE facility, which is just so funny that they're texting as opposed to, like, I know they had a phone call, but it sounds like one of the first interactions was this text message. And he writes it like he writes a post on X. Mm-hmm. It's the same. He's the same guy in a text message as he is on Truth Social. So this is what he sent. There is some text before it that says, hey, this is an assistant to the president. Here's what the president wanted me to tell you, basically. Governor, this is President Trump's assistant, Natalie Harp, sharing from our president. Governor, the ICE facility in Portland was attacked again last night. In fact, it and other federal buildings are being attacked on a nightly basis. We can't have this. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. And that came in 8:16 a.m. on Sunday. So the governor responds, Natalie, please pass this along to the president. I just received your notice to mobilize the Oregon National Guard outside of my control. I believe this is unlawful and unwarranted. You broke your promise to speak with me before taking further action against Portland. I'll be in touch later. Governor Tina Kotek. So then the president responds via text again. I notified you to get things in order, and you didn't. They attacked our ICE patriots last night and at other times. If you get your state in order, we don't come in. But everyone knows that Portland has been an unmitigated disaster for years. I won't let that happen in America. President Donald John Trump. It's just so funny. I don't know why I got such a kick out of these text messages. That first one with the thank you for your attention to this matter has become one of my favorite lines. But the president's not wrong. Like, hey, this happened again last night. I told you to get your state in order. they keep attacking ICE agents. Why won't you do anything about it? Why do you need additional time to let us know what you're going to do about it? She was hurt that he didn't call before announcing the deployment of the National Guard, but the National Guard has not been deployed yet. It kind of seems like a misnomer. I have some friends and family in the Midwest who think the National Guard has already been deployed in Portland. They haven't. It takes more time than that to mobilize the National Guard. What I did hear is that a couple hundred National Guard members volunteered for this mission, which I love, that they're like, yes, please send me to Portland to take down Antifa. I want to go, send me. So they're gearing up. I've heard they could be there as early as tomorrow. But what does that look like? So we did a poll on the show yesterday. You might have said, Brandy, there's no show poll today. Remember, I told you I was going to repeat yesterday's show poll today. And so I wanted you to get all the new information on that. Watch our special report. And then after the show, you can expect the same poll because I wanted to gauge based on new information whether your feelings on this have changed. I said, do you support President Trump deploying National Guard soldiers to Portland to protect the ICE facility? Now, yesterday, before our special report, before some of what I've shown you today, 97% of you said yes. I'm curious if there's any change in that. To me, I still wonder whether the National Guard is necessary because it does have a different there's a different meaning when you actually have troops on the ground in an American city. And I have seen that federal agents like the DHS agents actually can control the situation pretty well if they're allowed to do it. But the question is, how do you maintain order? Like, federal agents are clearly empowered to go out there and make arrests. That's what they were doing last night. They can go out there and use, you know, force to clear the roadway, et cetera. But then they retreat back into the building and then, you know, the riot reforms. So I think the one question I have about the National Guard is how will they be used? And if you're going to station them in the area to maintain order long term or bring the occupation to an end, I guess I might be okay with that. But enforcing laws on the streets, it's such a slippery slope. It definitely does worry me. So I'll have that poll up later so I can gauge whether you guys' opinions on this issue have changed. All right, we'll get to comments from our live stream on the show today. First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com. We all need insurance. Why would you not have someone handle it for you for free and make sure you have the best possible insurance at the best price? And that's the bottom line. That's what First Mark Insurance can help you out with. We get so many First Mark Challenge success stories from viewers who are saving hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year, and they get to spend it on other things that's not insurance premiums. And they're like, wow, I should have done that sooner. So the First Mark Challenge, just schedule time with them to take the challenge. They'll go over your current insurance, talk about your insurance needs. They'll go out, shop the market of carriers, come back with their recommendations. And if you decide to become a member of the First Mark family, again, you never pay them anything for their services, but still proactively every year, they're checking in. How are things going? Anything changing in your life? We're going to go back out, shop the market again. Just make sure we can't beat the rates that we've got for you right now. It really just takes so much stress off your plate. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right. Comments on, I was just dying to know what you guys had to say about the 911 calls. Autumn Palmer. So the people who wanted to fund the police called the police. LOL, the jokes write themselves. Yes, 100%. Brian E., that's what I want to know is why have these people not been arrested for abuse of 911 services? Now, I don't think automatically if you call 911 for something you shouldn't call 911 for that you should be arrested. But the guy who is clearly trying to insinuate that there was like violence, he should be ticketed for false reporting. Because yeah, you could tell what he was trying to do. And then when the 911 operator questions him about it, he, you know, doesn't like, continue okay to lie. Oh, they're just collecting signatures, but it's really triggering to me. An adult man. I know he had a man bun. I know he had a man bun, and probably the sides of his head were probably shaved too, for sure. Sorry, there's some man buns are cute, attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, Jason, I mean, Momoa. His man bun's much different.
See, that's the difference. It's where you wear the bun. It doesn't work here. It looks ridiculous in Seattle.
Well, and when you're a man who's like 105 pounds and you've got a man bun and, you know, yeah, it's different.
Then it
hello, Watermelon. Work. I am mildly shocked at how many calls there are. Well, apparently the Fred Meyer store was like telling people who complained, call 911.
Oh, no.
So that's also an abuse of the 911
system. It's a campaign.
System.
They yeah at the store was telling people, we can't do it, so please call police.
Yeah, it's problematic.
It's crazy.
My sister, I can see our live sheet. It updates in mm-hmm real time. And my sister handles the comments. Miranda mm-hmm does. And she just put her own comment in. She said, hey, that's Javi's haircut, LOL. That's true. Her boyfriend
it's a Miami
has
haircut.
Shaved hair, and it's a little ponytail. Yes, but he's in Miami, so maybe you're right. Sorry, Miranda, tell Javi I didn't mean it. But he's also a man's man, so he can wear a ponytail, you know?
He can get away with it.
B. Larson, I keep hearing the word unsafe used. My guess is the person who is the most unsafe is the signature gatherer. 100%. He was probably the only one there who actually his life was in jeopardy.
I love it. I would like to report somebody unsafe with a God Bless America hat. Yeah, okay.
It's really delicious.
Sounds
stuff.
Very dangerous.
DB Cooper, it's causing him to feel disagreed with. Send the Marines. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, you have them actively right now against the Trump administration for trying to send in reinforcements to deal with what clearly is a violent situation in Portland. So they're like up in arms over that. Oh my gosh, it's fascism. But they want armed police to come to deal with words they disagree with. They don't understand the hypocrisy of it because in their mind, what they're fighting for is righteous. So by any means necessary, right? Mm-hmm. Trump versus Antifa. What Trump is doing is what they did to the Aryan Nation in the early 90s, and then they stopped it. They just did it quietly. It works. Antifa has been a problem in Seattle all the way back to WTO, a lot longer than 15 years. Yeah, and that's the thing is like for the Aryan Nation, you know, not everyone was out wearing Klan hoods, you know, so you'd have to find like, how do you identify? Because they're going to deny it, right? Oh, no, I'm not a member of the Aryan Nation. And not all of them have some secret root cellar where they keep all their Nazi propaganda. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just because Antifa is a little bit amorphous doesn't mean that some of them don't plan, plot, identify themselves as Antifa. And part of that is the Discord servers and all of that.
It's sad to me that you talking about it. I mean, Trump would not get this credit. I mean, that is very clear. The violence, or Katie is saying, the violence has de-escalated because of what Trump has done.
Yeah.
And the news will not cover that.
No.
Portland News, Seattle News, anywhere that this is going on will not get coverage. It will be, I mean, you 100%. And maybe some Cho, maybe some Katie that will get out there and tell people like that this is de-escalating. But it's really hard to kind of like pick that out. It'll just kind of go away.
Yeah.
And so it's really sad that won't kind of be a big win for him.
Yeah, I had to laugh because Katie got this request from the Oregonian. And the Oregonian has been, they're just as bad as the Seattle Times. And they've been downplaying everything and haven't even been on the ground there. They emailed Katie and she published their email on X. Basically said, oh, some people are saying the Trump administration is over-exaggerating. We wanted to get your opinion on it. And Katie responded and she's like, hell no, I'm not talking to the Oregonian. Because we know what side of the issue that you're on. You have no interest in actually, there's hundreds of videos of violence. You won't talk about any of it. You want to do a story about how it's being over-exaggerated. So yeah, the mainstream media, the best thing is to shun them and say, I'm not giving you an opportunity to misquote me or take me out of context. Right. All right, let's see. Ted Hamilton, this act of violence and the Portland police officer's response, which is no action, is hard evidence that the leftists have free rein on the streets of Portland. 100%. And maybe, you know, I feel bad for that individual officer because maybe he's really being told by his, you know, superiors to stand down, but
he didn't even look dressed for the part.
He didn't even look like it was a girl who was like 4'8". Just detain her. And they screamed at him. So he's like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I just couldn't.
And then I saw him look up for where he was. He was looking at the street sign. But by the time he calls for backup for this child, this big, they're gone.
Yeah,
and they're in their safe house. So
you don't understand.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Wild. Mouse killers. Law and order is not fascism. Yes, I agree with that. The most triggering thing I could say to these leftists, and I enjoy doing it, is that I would call them fascists. When they try to block my camera or, you know, tell me to shut up and I leave the area, I'd be like, wow, you're such a fascist. And they would just, their heads would explode.
Mm-hmm.
Jan, wonder if that affordable housing is where Antifa is crashing is government funded. I know some housing has rules about guests staying for over 2 weeks. It's definitely taxpayer funded. And it's REACH, which is the same that they have in Seattle. But that's a good question. Is the housing and urban development money used for it? Because if so, and it's being used as to launder Antifa criminal wrongdoing and to hide them, then there should be some sort of issue there.
There should be.
But there are people living there who don't agree with it and have been very outspoken as well. So let's see. Ferguson announcing more help for illegals. Don, yes, he needs to differentiate between immigrants and illegals. No, but to him, there is no difference. It doesn't matter to him if they're here illegally or illegally. And the state of Washington treats them no different. on paper, in the state of Washington, there is no difference between a legal immigrant, an illegal immigrant, and a Washington state citizen. There's no difference, and they've made it so. Even if you're pulled over by a state trooper, the information that they now have access to doesn't give them any inclination about your immigration status, whether you're here illegally, anything. In every regard, you are treated the same, and illegals are treated the same as you. BJ Bumblebee, I love legal immigrants who came here the right way. When you protect illegal immigrants and give them taxpayer money, you are stealing from legal residents. And some of the people who despise illegal immigration the most are the legal immigrants. On the Bush Middle School Rainbow Mondays, Mark, what if you forget to wear the rainbow? Now you're on the list of homophobic kids. Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's about getting you to comply through peer pressure. And these are middle school students.
And again, not all middle school students are attracted to anybody at that point. Why do you have to decide that you're a part of that community by the time you're in middle school? I know a couple different children that thought they were gay because they didn't like boys when they were in elementary or middle school. Well, it turns out they just were kids. Had to grow up a little bit and then went to college and decided they, in fact, did like boys. So it's just crazy that they're pushing this on kids, telling them, like, you must decide. If you don't like boys, you must be part of this community. Right. So join us.
It's so crazy. It's so creepy. As a parent, I would be livid. Let's see.
It's perverted.
Kim
They're
Taylor.
A bunch of perverts.
Totally perverted. Ugh. Wear a rainbow shirt with scripture on Mondays. What would the school say? Wear a shirt with scripture that's not rainbow on Mondays and see what the school says. Not the Batman. And their reasoning is, we just made it safe for them to be who they really are. They don't even see it as alarming. They want the numbers higher. Yeah. And that's the excuse is, there were no kids who identified as gender X because we didn't give them the option. It wasn't an option. And now they feel safe and accepted. No. I don't even have to go there. You know that's
not
true.
It's escalating.
It's ridiculous.
So even if that was the case, it's escalating quickly.
Holy smokes, Jerry Oaksmith with a $50 super chat. Thank you both for saying out loud what we're all thinking. My mom sent me $50 yesterday. I know. My mom is so cute. She still will send me cards for occasions. And like if it's Valentine's Day, she'll put like $20 in there.
Aww.
And I think it's so cute.
Your anniversary?
Yeah, anniversary. Yeah. Mike and I had our 2-year anniversary. And she sent us $50. Sweet. I think because she knows my favorite president is on the $50 bill. Grant. But I was like, my sweet mom who shouldn't be sending me money in her retirement. But I think it gives her joy. And I was like, hey, my mom gave us $50. So we'll
going to dinner.
Get some drinks or something. Bill Biz, $20 super chat. FYI, Harmeet Dhillon gave an interesting 30-minute interview to the Daily Signal regarding the DOJ and Antifa. Definitely worth seeing. Oh, I will check that out. I would love to see that. We need to get Harmeet Dhillon on the show.
Yeah, okay.
On it. Okay, good comments. Per the usual today, guys. Appreciate it. We'll get to our closing sanity check. Only a matter of time before we had a clip like this. I was wondering when the cartel were going to start speaking out about President Donald Trump. Only a matter of time. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, why are you not a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, our wonderful show sponsors? And they're doing great work down in Olympia trying to make sense of these landlord-tenant laws that keep coming down, and they can help you navigate this complex world of rules and laws and regulations. It's like $260 a year, a really good investment for landlords, small to mid-size. They don't really deal with big landlords, but if you've got one unit, maybe a dozen units, definitely become a member of RHA today, rhawa.org, and join me at the Engage Conference coming up soon. I cannot believe it's October. October 22nd, 23rd at the Main Bauer Center. I'm going to be talking about housing policy with my friend Jonathan Cho, and our friend Alex Hayes as well is going to join us. So October 22nd and 23rd, sign up rhawa.org, rhawa.org. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Life's tough. If you're a member of the cartel right now, after all, President Donald Trump has declared them a terror organization. He's even bombed their boats out of the water, which is quite something to see. And so a cartel member speaking to CNN about just really how difficult things are.
Do you think what President Trump has been doing has been making your job tougher?
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
But it's becoming more difficult, you think?
Yeah.
Well, of course it's becoming more difficult. And still, CNN will probably side with the cartel leaders over President Donald Trump because they're just, you know, that unhinged. All right, that has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. Appreciate every single one of you. A big thank you to all our new subscribers who help support our show, our work on our special reports, all of that stuff. It all costs money to produce, so we appreciate those of you who pitch in $5 a month to make it possible. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. If you have not checked out our special report, 48 Hours in Portland, please do that. I know everyone has short attention spans, so it's boiled down to 15 short minutes of action. UndividedPod.com. That's it. See you back here on the live show tomorrow, noon, Pacific time.